If you need t-shirts, Clockwise would love to make them for you. And Harry, I'm talking to you.
Me?
And our listeners. Clockwise prints and ships t-shirts all over the world for quality-driven clients. Their water-based ink and tri-blend fabric make for a shirt you will love for years to come. Clockwise offers free shipping, no minimums, and professional mock-ups prior to production. Honestly, I'm not buying anything if it doesn't have free shipping at this point. They sent me a bunch of Clockwise shirts. They look fantastic, and they feel good. It's the fabric that you're like, yes. For more information on how to produce your own apparel with Clockwise, visit them online at clockwise.io or follow them on Instagram at clockwise. That's clockwise.io to learn more. My friends, welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. I am one of the latter, Lex Friedman. Today, our guest is Harry Nelson. You may remember Harry Nelson from such episodes as me every single time mentioning Harry in the booth. Today, he's not in the booth. He's in the studio. Hi, Harry.
Hi, Lex. How are you?
It's not time for you to talk yet, Harry. Sorry. Harry's the producer of the show. He wrote the thing I'm reading now, and he looks very nice today. We'll learn more about Harry's cool shirt later on. But first, it's time for Harry's favorite segment of the show, Shows We're Jealous Of, where we highlight shows that we like so much, we wish we had made them ourselves. Harry, did Harry prep you to come with a show you're jealous of today?
No, he didn't.
Okay. Well, do you have a show you're jealous of?
Sure, why not?
Go for it.
I really like the show Why Won't You Date Me on HeadGum. It's Nicole Byer's podcast.
And she's very funny.
She's very, very funny. And she's like insane, which is very, which is something probably I really enjoy. Yeah, that seems to be the answer mostly. But she has people that she's hooked up with, people that she's dated, and like just her friends on, and they go through her Tinder profile and give her tips and talk about their love lives. It's very nice. It's very revealing.
Does she actually ask some of her like hookups why they don't want to be in a prolonged relationship with her?
Yes.
That's very personal.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
It's very, very good.
I was on the bus into Manhattan today listening to, and I know this is kind of like saying Serial is a great show, but I listened to In the Dark season 2 from 8 p.m. I just started. I hadn't listened to it. It's, you know, they've done, this is the second season. I never listened to the first season, despite all the good press it got, but I'm in the second season, which is a true crime series. I'm only like 1.125 episodes in, and it's so good. And like, I literally got on the bus. I got to Manhattan, Port Authority, a beautiful place. And my thought was, can I just get on another bus and go home so I could keep listening to the show and I'll just go back and forth between Manhattan and New Jersey all day? I decided not to do that, but it was good enough that I was considering it, Harry.
That's like you want that car moment, right? Where you pull into the driveway,
the
but
driveway
you keep
moment.
Listening.
Yes.
That's like the bus moment is like a really expanded version of that where you pay more for public transit so that you can keep listening to
that's
your
exactly
podcasts.
That's exactly right. And it's just so beautifully reported in The Dark. And this is the, if you can't remember which season's which, is the story of Curtis Flowers, who is tried, as I'm starting the show, at least 5 times for the crime of murdering several people in a furniture store. And he says he didn't do it.
What do you think so far?
So far, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
But okay, so those are shows we're jealous of. And you know what show the listeners are jealous of? The Wolf Den, because they don't get to be on it. But Harry, you do. You are a producer of The Wolf Den.
Yes.
You help produce other Earwolf shows.
Yes.
But tell the listeners who you are, what your title is, what you do in mid-roll.
Hello, my name is Harry Nelson.
Harry Clarence Nelson.
Harry Clarence Nelson the 4th, for anyone super interested. In lineage, I am
his social security number. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's going to be Stitcher Premium exclusive, so instead of the ad, it'll be my social security
Perfect.
Number. I'm studio manager here at Earwolf New York, which means I...
Don't you mean Earwolf?
yeah, radio, okay. Et cetera. That means managing the studio calendars, helping guests with things, and getting everyone in the office to make sure that they're not like freezing to death or burning to death.
You're not doing great on the freezing at our new office.
No, it's a big space, and you know there are a lot. There's
it's
a big air conditioner.
Cold.
Yeah,
and you produce several Earwolf shows or co-produce.
Yeah, I work on this show, and I co-produce Beautiful Anonymous with the intrepid Jared O'Connell, who is behind me right now.
You know, I love listening to Beautiful Anonymous because it's a great show. I also love Chris Gethard, and if you haven't watched his stand-up special on HBO, you should. What freaks me out about his show is that he and I are basically, like, he's from Jersey, I'm from Jersey, and we are the same age, and we just have very different lives, and it really just makes me ponder all of my life choices every time I listen to that show. So.
Yeah, Chris is really good at making people feel introspective in general ways, so I think that's the intended effect.
So, Harry, we're going to talk about you a lot, but
Great.
First, you suggested we talk about The Wolf Den,
yeah.
The podcast about the business and people of podcasting.
That's true.
I was not always the host of The Wolf Den.
No, what?
I know. Listeners, sit down. If you're driving and you just crashed, I'm so sorry. call the police, but then keep listening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the show began in February 2011. That's an old podcast.
It's a very old podcast.
Do you know the name of the original host? You really want to drink that tea. Drink the tea and I'll talk.
It's too hot to drink. I'm just fiddling with it. Okay. Yeah, sorry. The original host, I believe, was Jeff Ulrich.
Jeff Ulrich. That's right. Jeff Ulrich, the founder of Midroll, the co-founder of Earwolf. If you don't know the Midroll, Earwolf, Friedman origin story, I'll give you the 2-minute version. Start the clock. So I have worked for a series of internet companies. I'm at the parent company of MySpace back when that was a thing. And then MySpace gets acquired and I leave. I co-found a diet tracking startup called The Daily Plate in the pre-iPhone era. I'm working on this site called The Daily Plate. I'm one of three employees. The other two guys have other jobs so they can have money to pay me, and I'm the only one who works on it full time. The Daily Plate gets acquired by a company called Demand Media. I go to work at Demand Media. It's my third internet startup. And I'm there, and Demand Media goes public. And I'm like, damn, this has been a lot of internet companies. And I'm like, while I was at Demand, I had started freelancing for a tech publication called Macworld, writing about Apple stuff, news and reviews and how-tos, opinion pieces, whatever. And I had just done it nights and weekends for extra money. And after Demand went public, I was like, you know what? Even though being a full-time writer is not as lucrative a career as being a full-time internet startup person, I'm going to do that for a little while and just take a breather. And so I went to work full-time at Macworld and cut my salary in more than half and just had a regular 9-to-5 job for the first time in my life. It wasn't like crazy startup culture of work from 8 a.m. till 8 a.m. So when a friend said, hey, Lex, do you want to co-host a podcast with me? I was like, okay, I got time now. I didn't really know the guy that well. Now that I know him, I would not have said yes if I had to do it again. But hi, Dave. But so I started doing the show on a little network called Mule Radio. At the time, it was fledgling, and today it is dead. Huh. But so, you know, a couple weeks in, they sent us a Squarespace ad to read. And I was like, why? And they were like, well, this way we can pay you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
That was your first taste.
Read a Squarespace ad. The next week, there was another Squarespace ad. And the next week, maybe there was an Audible ad. I don't know. But the fourth week, there was no ad. And I was like, guys, now that you're paying me a couple $100 a week to do the show, it's way less interesting to sit down and record an episode if you're not going to pay me.
Sure.
Do you mind if I try to sell an ad for it? To be clear, dear listener, dear Harry, I had absolutely no ad sales experience at this time. Just none. And they were like, go for it. And so I tried to sell some ads, and I did okay at it. And then another friend on that network said, well, will you sell my show? And then the network was like, well, if you're going to sell both of those shows, why don't you sell all 12 of our shows? And they had one, especially at the time, a very big show, a show that still exists today called The Talk Show. And suddenly it was like a real thing. And then outsiders who saw that I was selling all the Mule Radio shows were like, hey, do you want to sell our shows too? Marco Arment, who would later create Overcast, who was hosting Accidental Tech Podcast, asked me to sell his show. And Boing Boing asked me to sell all their shows. Max Linsky, now at Pineapple, then just the host of Longform, asked if I would sell his show. So like 3 months after I sold my first podcast ad, I was repping 50 shows. And I bring all this up because there was like maybe 3 other people on the planet at the time selling podcast ads. Jeff Ulrich was one of them. Mm-hmm. And so he and I kept hearing about each other. He was hearing about me from you know, the buyer at Squarespace, or from Dan Benjamin, who had the 5x5 podcast network. And we just, you know, we were talking to all the same people. And he tried to write to Marco Arment of Accidental Tech Podcast and said, hey, can I sell ads for your show? And Marco was like, I got a guy, but you should talk to him. And Jeff and I started talking, and we tried for months to figure out ways we could work together. And we struggled because I was like, we could do lead sharing. I could sell into your network and you could sell into mine. And mm-hmm. Jeff's main perspective was, and Jeff, if you're listening, you can host your own podcast if you disagree. He doesn't. He knows this is true. I have an email. But Jeff's argument to me was, any advertiser you get who I don't have, I'll get in 3 months. So like, I can't do any of the offers that you're proposing. And eventually he decided to acquihire me instead. So I joined Midroll. That's after 2011.
What year is that?
Boy, I don't remember when my first day was at Midroll. I could look it up. We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
But so I decide to join Midroll, and the Wolf Den was an establishment at that point. And Jeff continued to host it. Sometimes his schedule got a little bit intermittent, but he was always doing it. And so Earwolf came first. And then when Jeff had the same story as I did, basically, where he was just selling his shows, and then other people reached out to him like, hey, will you sell our shows too? And so Midroll became the parent brand. I just had an Earwolf host. I won't name him except to say that it was Adil Rafai from Magic Tavern in the office yesterday. And he was like, so what's the connection between Midroll and Earwolf? So like, people still don't really get that Midroll and Earwolf are one and the same.
Yeah.
But so when he created Midroll as a separate company from his co-founding Earwolf with Scott Aukerman, Midroll eventually became the parent of Earwolf and everything else. But so the Wolf Den, you said, and I didn't even know this, episodes used to be in the format of a question. Do you have any examples?
Yeah, the episode titles used to be like, "What? Who is blank, and then they would interview that person.
Who is Bob Duca?
Yeah.
Who loves movies?
Yeah, what's up with Earwolf? Who's Adam?
My favorite title that you had is, Why Do We Love LegalZoom?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that was like the first sponsored podcast.
It might
like
be. Before,
like branded content. And it originally was described as where we talk about the current goings-on of Earwolf, the comedy podcasting network, and talk with people who are influencing how the business of comedy is evolving through the podcasting medium.
Yeah.
That's still what we do now,
pretty
right?
much the same, yeah.
No. The Who is Earwolf episode had six people, because that's how many people were at Earwolf at that point.
Which is crazy to think about.
There was an Earwolf hotline that you could dial into to call in.
Yeah, apparently. I meant to call that to see if it's still a thing or what happens
Should
when you
we
call
do it live?
Yeah, why not?
All right, we're going to do it live. I'm going to do it on speaker. The number, because you can still call it. We don't care. The number was, and you know, Harry, you can just bleep this later if you think I shouldn't have said it. But it's 413-34-R-WOLF. Isn't it fun trying to find letters on the phone?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what happens. It's Jeff Ulrich's personal phone.
Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to connect you.
Lex Friedman of The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business.
All right. This is good radio.
I can't wait. What if it just goes to Jeff's phone? So it's a Google Voice number. We know that much.
Yeah.
You have called is not available.
Oh, well, that was much less interesting than we hoped.
That's too bad.
So in 2012, there was one episode of the show. In 2013, there were five episodes. One of the guests was Paul Riis-Mandel. Paul Riis-Mandel is currently our podcast evangelist and content marketer, I believe, in Midroll. I think those are his titles.
Yeah, you were squinting to try to
remember.
Yeah.
Do you know how Paul joined Midroll?
I don't.
So Paul had a blog that still exists about radio and audio and podcasting. And Jeff asked him to be a guest on the Wolf Den. And Jeff enjoyed that conversation so much, he asked Paul if Paul would want to work here. And Paul said, yes. And Jeff said, you'll report to Lex. I have to tell him, though. So then that conversation with Jeff was like, hey, we could get out of it, but I did hire somebody, and he's reporting to you, and I don't know what his job is going to be.
Is that the only one who's ever been, only person who's been hired based on a Wolf Den appearance?
Harry? I'd like to make you a job.
I'll be the only person who was fired based on a Wolf Den appearance.
Clean out your desk and get the heat a little bit warmer. In 2014, Jeff made it his last episode of the Wolf Den, August 2014. And he was stepping down as CEO prior to our sale and becoming the chairman instead. And Adam Sachs took over. Adam hosted it until 2017, and then Chris Bannon and I took over. So my notes say
facts.
That Adam hosts until 2017. Adam's last episode was July 2016, so I don't really understand that.
Yeah, might have been a bit of a typo there.
Okay. And Harry became our producer. So Paul, who had been a guest and then was Paul was the producer of The Wolf Den for me and Chris for a long time. He had been a producer of The Wolf Den for Adam. And then eventually, Harry was just always hanging around. Harry, a big Wolf Den fan. He called himself like the original Wolf Denizen. I'm a den head.
Yeah. I showed up with my custom Wolf Den shirt, trying to get Marissa to make it into official merch, but she will not.
It was when you wore the lion head for recording that we were like, we should have Harry become the producer. Do you remember when your first episode was?
May of 2017.
Nailed it. And what's actually, and I'm deadly serious, and you can bemoan everything about it if you want. What do you enjoy about producing the Wolf Den? Besides working with me,
Well, I do really like working with you and Chris Bannon when he's around. But I'm learning so much. Even this episode, I've learned so much about you and like where people come from, because you kind of just I came into this industry not really. I'm like, I like comedy podcasts. You know, John Gapers is very funny.
He is
very funny.
We're gonna call him live on the show in a few minutes.
Oh, great! I hope he answers his Google Voice number. But I've learned so much about the industry. I've met so many people. I feel like that's been something that's been really actually helpful for me in the non-Wolf Den areas of my life.
Oh, that's good. That's a really good answer.
Thank you very much. I prepared it.
That's good. It sounded rehearsed. But so you mentioned Chris Bannon. Chris and I co-hosted the show, as we said, since either 2016 or 2017, depending on which line in the notes you believe.
Mm-hmm.
This is a knowable fact, but we're not going to look it up. And Chris... Let's talk about the elephant who's not in the room, that being Chris Bannon.
You're giving away his secret nickname, the elephant.
we call him the elephant here because he never forgets.
Never forgets.
And he's always got a trunk with him wherever he goes. He usually has a banjo inside.
Yeah.
And he works for Peanuts. Can we keep this going or no?
Sure, yeah. I mean,
also...
Wow.
That was my elephant impression.
That was very good.
I can also do the sound of a horse galloping.
Let's hear it. It's very good.
That's with my tongue, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Harry, let go of my tongue. So Chris and I co-hosted the show, and I loved it. I loved co-hosting the show with Chris until I didn't. No, that's not true. There's no drama here, but some listeners have written in, and they're like, one, why are the mailbag names so fake? And two, what happened to Chris Bannon? And Chris decided back whenever it was that he did the last episode that he co-hosted, he decided that he wanted to take a break from doing the show because he doesn't like me.
That's
and he's
not
like,
true.
Lex, I'm just done with this show.
Oh, no. Come on.
What Chris said was, I'll tell you right after the break. Just kidding. What Chris said was that he felt like that our banter was good, but that it was doing a disservice to the show. Now, what's hilarious, because like he's like, people really want to hear about the guests, and you and I have so much banter, and I guess he decided that if one of us had to go, it should be the funnier one, so he left. But what's hilarious about this to me is I, first of all, loved doing the banter with him. Second, I felt like he was clearly the smarter of the two hosts in terms of like being a good interviewer, listening, and all those things. But then three, like we were just a podcast movement, you and I and Chris and many other mid-rollers, like 20 of us. Mm-hmm. And I got, not surprisingly, the Wolf Den is popular amongst the podcast movement.
I know, it was so cool.
And like, there are, listen, we have millions of listeners, as I always say, but nowhere are we more popular than a podcast movement. I got so many compliments from people being like, I love how you and Chris are together on that show. Like every compliment was not just for me. It was always for me. So thanks, jerks. And then my favorite one was a woman came up to me and she said, I am part of a show where I produce a show that's got two co-hosts, and I tell them to listen to the Wolf Den to hear how co-hosts interact.
Wow.
I advise them, like, listen to this segment of the Wolf Den so you can hear how co-hosts give and take with each other. And so I immediately went and told Chris, and he's like, well, then why'd you fire me? But of course, I didn't fire him. He took a hiatus, and he knows he is welcome back here anytime.
Yes. Yeah, I really...
Not right now, though.
No, this is just you and me.
Yes.
And Jared in the booth.
Hi, Jared. He waved.
Yeah, I really like the way that you two interacted, and I like the way that your approach to interviewing guests. I think that was it worked really, really well. And you're obviously a great host.
Oh, you're saying it's suffering now?
No, I just, you know, you said it yourself. You two are very different people in many ways, but
right.
And that you interact in a way that I think is very pleasing to a podcast, because I like podcasts where the hosts hate each other.
Right, and it's funny because people, I did occasionally get asked, not a podcast, but people get asked like, are you and Chris like, do you really not like each other? It's like, no, you yeah. can only make jokes like that on mic with somebody who you really like.
Exactly.
You, I can just insult.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry, the listeners want to know more about you. And by the listeners, I mean me. And I will tell you this. I gave a talk at Podcast Movement about how to do great ads. So I'm about to do some great ads. But I did say that you shouldn't tease something before your ad break. It's a very popular thing to do a podcast. Like, and then who killed the guy? We'll tell you right after this. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, it's not like radio where it's exactly what you should do. On radio, tease what's coming so that people keep listening. They just listen through the ads and they're there when you come back. On podcasts, there is a button. Don't use that button. But there is a button to skip the ads. And if you tease something, and I'll actually tell you, Geth does this a lot and I think we should talk to him about it. Geth's like, oh, you're going to want to know the answer to that. But first you got to listen to this. And it's like, I'm going to listen to it because it's my job, but not everybody's going to listen to it.
Sure.
So it's just a thing that I've been thinking about recently. And
why, like, what's the disadvantage of that in your, because people can skip the ads.
People can skip the ads. Yeah. And I think that, like, if they're dying to know what comes next, they're more inclined to skip the ads.
Gotcha.
And if you're like, you know, and we'll continue the story after this, but first, like, help me support the show. And Chris is actually very good about saying, like, here's why you should listen to these ads. And please, you know, use these offer codes because it supports the show,
yeah.
Et cetera. But yeah, so I'm not going to tease the Harry interview too much, but it's coming right after this. On Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People, comedian Chris Gethard, and I have to pronounce it here, Gethard, talks to one anonymous caller for an hour. Harry, do you know the show?
Yes, I am. I am know the show.
I believe that we talk mid-interview when this ad appears about the fact that you are a co-producer on that show.
That is true.
There's only one rule on Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People. Don't piss off Harry. I'm sorry, there's two rules. That's the first rule. The second rule is Gethard cannot hang up. He can hang up only at the one-hour mark. In two recent episodes, Chris chatted with someone in a unique moment just before their life was about to change. There was a woman who was about to live out her own Orange is the New Black-esque journey. Harry, what was it like being there for the taping of that episode?
I missed that one. Oh, okay. But I listened to it before most people, and that's still a win.
And there was another one very recently. I listened to both of these in the past few days with a young man who came out of the closet on the show. What I loved about that episode was Chris's kind of like impassioned speech near the end where he's like, one thing that I learned, and I'm not quoting him very well at all, but he's like, a piece of advice that I learned is that you can't judge something. You can't judge anybody for things they don't have control over. That's why sexual orientation or race, things like that, you can't judge people for them. And as soon as you accept that, you're in a much better place. Anyway, it's a great show. It's a beautifully done show. Harry and Jared do an incredible job producing it. Chris does a magical job hosting it. Subscribe to Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Okay, Harry?
Okay.
All right, we are back with Harry Nelson.
Hello.
Studio manager for Midroll, Earwolf?
Yeah, whatever we are.
All
now.
Of it?
Yeah. Stitcher 2, I think.
I think maybe the most popular person at Midroll, like, I certainly, amongst the staff.
I certainly know everyone.
You get the most slacks of anyone.
That is true.
Yes.
I was talking with Eric at Podcast Movement, Eric Dean, CEO of our company.
I've heard of him.
And I was like, do you like coming here? Like, everyone wants to talk to you. You're like a celebrity here. And he's like, yeah, but they don't want to talk to me. They want to talk to the CEO. And that's sort of how I feel at work. I'm very popular, but it's because people need a lot of stuff.
I also think, and this is deadly true, I think it's because you are very charming. You have this affability that I think makes you so popular.
Oh, come on. Come on. Me? You kidding?
Oh, this false humility. So tell me, you said you loved comedy podcasts, so you said, let me join Earwolf. But what was the path that led you to applying here?
Well, it's a weird story, actually. I'm from Indiana originally.
Where in Indiana?
Central Indiana, a town called Lebanon.
Lebanon, Indiana.
Of course.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's good. They're building a new thing there, I read this morning.
Oh, a new thing?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Guys, go to Lebanon, Indiana. There's a new
thing
coming.
New thing. 2020.
The tagline is hindsight is 2020.
People are going to use that a lot in 2020,
oh,
I think.
Oh, for sure. Campaigns, yes.
We should get ahead of that somehow. Yeah, so I moved to New York in 2012. I went
on a whim or for a job?
I went to grad school for television writing and production. And
I had no idea.
Learned that, and I produced television for a couple years.
Where'd you go to grad school?
Long Island University.
And what television did you produce? That's a word I'm not familiar with because I'm more audio.
Sure. I worked for a company called Music Choice for a while, doing a lot of artist interviews and stuff like that. And then I went to MTV International, where I made after a brief period in advertising that I did not enjoy. And then I moved to MTV International, where I worked on a show that was in every country except for America, and I interviewed teens across the country about Rihanna and stuff.
Across other countries?
Across America. It was American teens.
Talking about Rihanna. To foreigners.
It was like pop-up video. Mm-hmm. It was called Video Love. It was a good show. But instead of a fact, there would also be like a teen being like, Rihanna's so great in this scene. She looks great. So
and that was in New York City?
That was in New York City. And I was just Skyping with kids across the country.
Oh, cool. And who, you must have at some point at both of those jobs met some big musicians. Who was your favorite?
Who was my favorite?
Not necessarily your favorite musician that you met, but your favorite person to have met. Like the best interaction.
I don't know. I there was a time when I would say R. Kelly, but that's not cool anymore.
No. That'll piss a lot of people off.
Yeah, so that was not cool. He's a bad person. Ariana Grande was cool. She's one of those people who just has like such a presence when she's in the room. Like,
I wouldn't
you immediately
that.
Fall in love with her. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know who she's engaged to?
Pete Davidson.
Isn't that amazing from SNL?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're at MTV International. You're making a show here in the States interviewing American teenagers via Skype. Is it sponsored by Microsoft or no?
No.
But missed opportunity.
Yeah.
The show is not is not even shown in the U.S.
No.
Are you working in that big MTV building?
No, I interned in that big MTV building, and there was a lot of free food, which I really enjoyed.
As if towards MTV.
Yeah, I think that's a general direction. I was working with an independent company that was making the show. It was a lot of fun. And but how I got to Earwolf, let me look into the microphone.
Yes, please.
When I was working at one of my other jobs, I was on Reddit. You're familiar with Reddit.
Very.
I was on the Earwolf Reddit, where I currently lurk and have several names that I...
What shows at Earwolf were you fan enough of that you decided to check out the Earwolf Reddit at the time?
I don't know. I used to listen to, and still do listen to a lot. I was a big Comedy Bang Bang guy.
It's
and like
Mitch Hedberg, like, I used to do drugs. I still do what I used to.
Exactly. Okay. Elevators, escalator, stairs, all that stuff. So I was a Comedy Bang Bang fan. So I was on the Earwolf Reddit, and somebody was like, there should be more New York shows. And I was like, there should be. And then somebody commented, hey, we're actually opening a New York office. And that person, I later found out, was Eric Dean, current CEO of this company. So I went to the Earwolf website and just clicked on the Contact Us link. And it was like, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I do. I know that you guys are opening a studio soon.
Wow.
And 6 months later, I got an email.
That's how long it took to get a reply?
Yeah. And they're like, well, we have a studio. We're looking for a studio manager. You should come in, interview. Interviewed, did not get the job. Oof. Fast forward to another year when they're actually looking for a studio manager.
I'll tell you honestly, I don't know who got the job. Oh, nobody did?
It was John Delore. He just did both for a while.
Got it.
And then he ended up hiring me
We had no money at the time, right? So it was like, oh, if we can hire one person and make him do both jobs.
Exactly.
Got it.
So yeah, and then a year after that, they called me back in and here I am.
Were you at MTV that whole time?
I was.
Or the MTV production company?
It was. During that time, I left Music Choice. I did advertising for a few months, and it made me very sad.
Hated it.
And then I was at MTV, and it just so happened as that freelance job was ending, this job came up, and here we are.
What made you hate advertising so much? Why did it make you sad?
Well, my job there was,
this segment, by the way, is brought to you by Squarespace.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I was working as an assistant editor, so my job was to look at, they'd be like, we're making an orange juice commercial, so we need a video of a woman smiling and drinking orange juice. And then my job was to look on YouTube and Vimeo and everything for somebody doing that, and then download it, and then somebody would edit it into a fake commercial that they would use to show clients.
Okay.
So I was like three steps removed from even making like commercials, which it started to feel very tedious very fast, and I got sad.
I get it. So it wasn't the medium. It was the kind of work.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, when I was growing up, I thought I'd be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And then I thought I would get into advertising. Because what I really want to do, and I think still, is like be the creative creating ad messaging. Like I like funny commercials. I like clever commercials, the ones that capture your attention. I get so angry every year at the Super Bowl. Not this most recent Super Bowl, but I get so angry every year during the Super Bowl because like there's always hype about the ads. They're spending so much money and so many of them are just drudgery or like obvious misfires. Like listen, it's easy for people like you and me, Harry, you and me specifically, to look at, say, like Hollywood releases and be like, oh, that movie's not going to do well. Like nobody's going to see that. Like once it's done, it's done.
Sure.
But you get a 30-second ad, I feel like you can know much earlier in the process before it's done, no, this isn't going to work. Like,
yeah.
We should be more creative. Like just having, and I'm no offense to my New Jersey fellow citizen, no offense to Danny DeVito, but just putting Danny DeVito in the ad does not make a great Super Bowl. For years I thought I'd get into advertising. And then I was like, no, I can't because there's something uncouth about just being in a business to try to get people to buy stuff. Mm. Then I joined Midroll as the EVP of sales.
Yeah.
That was a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, Do you feel good about what we do? We're entertaining audiences, but like, do you have qualms about the advertising side?
Not at all.
You can be honest. It's a safe space.
No, yeah, not at all. Advertising as a thing I don't mind it at all. I've been listening to podcasts since before there are ads. I remember the first time like Kevin Smith did an ad on Smodcast. I was like, wait, they're selling ads on a podcast? That's insane. And then it just became bigger and bigger. And I think it keeps the lights on here. Like it's amazing. It
keeps the air very cold.
Yes. It pays for our giant air conditioner that I use to freeze our employees. it's great. I'm sorry that I said it made me sad. I think what you do is...
No, it's okay. I don't even do it anymore. It's not my job anymore, but I get it. It's,
what is your job, Lex?
Oh my God. It's actually an excellent question. So when Adam Sachs left, we had no CEO for a while here.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
it was a lawless time.
Right. We were just like murdering people day and night. We made a lot of true crime podcasts about it.
Yeah.
But so Eric Dean became the CEO. And at that time, I became our chief revenue officer. And at that time, what that meant was, that was about 2 years ago, that I was in charge of all the money we generated. Mm-hmm. Right. So that really meant being in charge of the ad sales side of the business, the premium side of the business, the merch business, and live events. Live events we've paused on just because it's a very expensive thing, hard to make money. Merch is now podswag.com. You should buy stuff there. There's no Wolf Den merch yet.
We'll get there. You came up with that name too, didn't you?
Eric Dean and I actually in conversation were like, we should just like store.earwolf.com. If we want to sell merch for other shows, we've got to have more something broader. And we were just seeing what domains were available. And I literally did suggest the word podswag. And then Marissa, our head of merch in LA, was like, I don't think anybody knows the word swag. Although I'm going to disagree with her. I think people do know.
They do.
But so it was merch, premium, and sales. And the reality was, starting at this point, as we record these words, maybe 8 months ago, I said to Eric Dean, I started planting a bug in his ear that I thought that the two people who ran those businesses, Corey Kulesa, who at the time was the SVP of sales, and Dan Ossett, who was the GM of Stitcher Premium, and they both reported into me because they headed up those two big revenue-driving businesses, I suggested that they should be promoted to the management team. We had to pull them into every big conversation about, you know, what to offer a show or what deal to make, what structure to use, whatever. And, you know, certainly I knew what was going on in sales. I knew what was going on in premium. But anytime you needed a specific question in a management conversation, I needed to call them in anyway. And I was like, they're two very smart people, and I like the most smart people in the room we can get. And it took a little while for that change to happen. But when it did, you know, part of promoting them to the management team meant that they started reporting to Eric instead of me. And the conversation that Eric and I had at that time was, if I'm not going to have the two people who are running the two big revenue-driving businesses reporting to me, should I still be the chief revenue officer? And it didn't really make sense because it's hard for me to be responsible for a number when those two people don't report to me, right? Those two teams don't report into me
sure.
anymore. And I, you know, I really had encouraged it to happen, just hadn't thought about what that mean for me. And so I was fired summarily. No, I wasn't. Just kidding.
You would not still be the host of The Wolf Den.
Right. Yeah, I no longer work here, but I am the host of The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. I think we should make that the full title. So Eric and I talked about, you know, like, what am I good at? And we were like, looking good, podcasting.
Puns.
And so my title became the Chief Business Development Officer here at Midroll. And what that basically means is I help out on a couple different kinds of things. Basically, relationships with key Midroll partners. And that could be advertisers. So I help out with some of our biggest advertisers on the sales side. Hosts and agents and networks of shows that we work with, I help out with the biggest relationships there. Vendors, you know, somebody like Art 19, and we should totally have Sean Carr from Art 19 on the show. Is that in the works? Is that happening?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Good.
I have a call with him right after this.
Good. Art 19, you know, a hosting provider that we've used and continue to use. Like that kind of relationship. Even like M&A, so if corporate development, if Midroll is looking to acquire another company, I'm one of the people who would help evaluate that and look at what does that look like. I mean, we did that with Stitcher years ago. I was not the head of M&A at that point, but that piece too. So it's really like just working on big relationships. And I still actually also have the merch business roll into me because somebody has to, and
sure.
I love it. So my job is really just focused on helping to get deals done across all those kinds of partners. So when we're negotiating with the Freakonomics, I'm one of the people who will help try to make sure that deal gets closed. And all the stuff that we haven't announced yet that hasn't quite closed yet, those are all the things I'm working on all day.
Cool.
The craziest thing to me about my job, and I think that this is true for a lot of people, and I'm wondering if this affects you ever, but it's like you don't train for this particular job, right? You like get the right experiences and make the right connections, and then you can kind of have this job. I was hired in Midroll to sell podcast ads because I had taught myself to sell podcast ads over the previous 18 months.
Yeah.
And so the role that I have now is just like I had to do these things. I had to have conversations with advertisers and then podcasters and agents and all those things. And so now it's like officially what I do. But you know, are you familiar with imposter syndrome?
Oh, I was just thinking about imposter syndrome.
So you really seem like an imposter to be here. No.
But like, take off my mask, yeah. Mission Impossible style.
I really first felt like an imposter when I became a parent, where I was like, oh my God, everybody's just making it up. Like yeah. And like, even just as you become a grown up, you're like, oh, everybody's just full of shit and making it up as they go along. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do in my job all day. And people are like, Lex, you're so good at these negotiations with people, or like disarming people in the room. Like, I'm literally just talking to them and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yep.
But I totally know what I'm doing, guys. Come on.
No, I'm very much the same way. I went to school. I learned about television stuff. I got this job. And like for example, we just moved from this studio to our large new office that's very cold and everyone loves.
Yes, I do love it.
And I was very much in charge of that move, which I don't know how to move a company. I don't know what you need. I don't know how to get a dishwasher
boxes.
Fixed. Yeah, we did get a lot of boxes. We got reusable tubs, which are very eco-friendly.
Yes. The only thing I think we did wrong with the office move is, and I blame the construction crew, not you, is that hole by the refrigerator situation to get water and power through, that seems like a mistake was made somewhere.
You don't like that hole?
It feels like they should have thought about that before.
Yeah, that we went to install the coffee machine and they're like, there's no water hookup here, there's no, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I'll talk to the contractors. I don't know what to do. There's a lot. There was just a lot of
is
stuff like that.
Is that the permanent fix, or are they going to try to do something different longer term?
I don't know, Lex. Is this what you want to talk to me about here?
Well, so Harry, what do you think the goal is of the Wolf Den? in all seriousness, because this show has evolved. It used to be about comedy. It used to be making funny shows. Then it was really Jeff just trying to connect with fans of Earwolf, because at the time that was also fledgling, right? It was like just trying to make sure that listeners didn't get mad if a show didn't come out on time or if something went wrong. Or if they sold merch and it took 6 months to arrive, he was like, I'm just a guy trying to run a business. Mm-hmm. That's not the point of the show now. What do you think our mission is, really?
I think it's to let people in on the inside of what actually happens in these rooms where people are talking about podcasts. For me, it's been very informative. I've learned a lot. I like to try and translate that experience to the listener as much as possible.
Yeah.
I think the people who listen to The Wolf Den are, I assume they're interested in the business and people of podcasting. And we do our best to deliver those people on a biweekly basis.
Yeah, we do.
But I don't know. I think what The Wolf Den used to be that it's not is a very like really looking at Earwolf.
Right.
Exactly. And I think it's the same problem that the podcast startup had, where it's like they're very transparent at first because it wasn't really a thing yet. And now that we're a business with 100 people and all these secret projects that you're working on in back rooms, it's like you can't really talk so much about that. And there's the industry is so big and you can't there's so many people to talk to. But I like a navel gaze. Like, I like what's going on with... I like this talk we're having.
I do, too. And, you know, what's interesting is Harry is often suggesting that we bring on guests who work here.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Bannon has felt strongly like, we should do that, but we can't do it too frequently because we don't want this to seem like it's a promotional show. Like, the show is not an ad for Midroll. Although, I did get praise from Dan Ossett that, like, we had 5 guests in a row where I was pitching them on premium during the recording of the show.
Every time. Just make
Harry,
that a segment.
Like premium project?
Oh, yes, please.
But so, you know, I think the only reason we don't do it more is so it doesn't have that feel, right?
Yeah.
Like, the show is really supposed to be about podcasting as an industry at this point. And I do think we have very smart and interesting people here with smart and interesting stories to tell and backgrounds to share. And I think that people like that too. But we try to spread the love. But for months, we've been trying to get Corey and Dan on the show. But that's a tough book.
Getting the three of you in a room is impossible.
You were asking me, what do I do? And mostly what I do is look at my calendar every day and wince.
Yeah.
The Monday and Tuesday this week, I was booked from 9 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. with no breaks on my calendar. So that's both yesterday.
What'd you have for lunch yesterday?
I had Barney Brown. This episode is brought to you by Barney Brown. They deliver sandwiches. You can order directly from them on their website or via Grubhub. And the website, I love Grubhub and Seamless, but I prefer to order directly from the Barney Brown website because they show you the sandwich as you're assembling it. They're like, oh, if you're picking this kind of bread, it looks like this. And then here's like, it's just, you know, it's a modern website, but it's phenomenal.
Cool. I haven't heard.
This is an endorsement for that.
Love a sandwich.
You can use offer code WOLFDEN. It won't work, but you can use it.
Put it in.
Just give it a try. Harry, listen, we try to use this show to tell people all about podcasting.
Yep.
We want them to know about how people get into their jobs and how the industry is developing, all those things. We also have a segment that we call the Wolf Den Mailbag because that's its name.
Wolf Den Mailbag. Don't be happy, don't be sad. Now just sit back and enjoy this week's Wolf Den Mailbag.
I swear to God, somebody is having a contest somewhere to come up with the most ridiculous names for the Wolf Den Mailbag. I don't know if I can read this name without laughing, but I'm trying to get in the headspace. If you have a question, Harry usually makes Bill write these questions.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you
Bill
want
Irwin.
To ask a question, all you have to do is you can tweet at me at LexFry, LexFry, or you can email us wolfden@midroll.com. We'll answer it. We'll debate it. And I'll tell you, the mailbag segment has become one of my favorite things about the show is just hearing people answer these questions because they're good questions that Bill writes for Harry to put fake names on.
Yeah.
But we want your questions too. I don't know if this is a fake question or not. This week's question is from Millward Brown. Millward Brown also hosts one of my favorite podcasts, The Millward Den. But Millward asks, what do you think a platform's responsibility is for removing hateful/harmful shows? It's almost like Millward reads our Slack at Midroll. Well, Harry, let's talk about this.
Yep.
I'm not going to get into the show, but we had an incident in the past 12 to 18 months where there was a show on Stitcher, a platform we operate, that was hateful. Like, it existed only to spread and share hate. It was problematic for us. And I will tell you, and I won't give you who was on what side of the debate other than I was on the side of let's get that show out right away. And there were some people here who were like, well, let's talk about it first. I'm like, let's not. Let's remove it and then let's talk about it. And we have to put it back and apologize. Let's do that. But let's right now remove it. This is a subjective question. What do you think is a platform's responsibility? Say you're Spotify, which as we record this, and I'm guessing it'll change by the time the episode even drops. So as we record this, they're getting static for having InfoWars podcast available on Spotify because Spotify chooses which shows it's there. It's like an invite-only thing. What's your take?
My take personally?
Yeah.
I think...
and professional.
Oh, yeah. That is my job now. I think for a platform, there are many platforms where you can just put in an RSS feed and have whatever podcast you want pop up. I think in an ecosystem where something has to get approved, where somebody's curating the podcasts, I think it reflects poorly on a company if they're like, hey, check out the Hate Tweets section on iTunes, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm all for free speech, but I'm not for terrible people. R. Kelly was one of the worst people I've ever met in my life. So I don't know. It's definitely a difficult subject, and don't feel capable of speaking about it eloquently.
R. Kelly has come up infinitely more times on this episode than I expected when we started. This is my take. You mentioned free speech, and I think that you are right that free speech is important. And I think that many, many people, I'm not saying you do, but I think many people mischaracterize what that means.
Sure.
Because free speech means Alex Jones and his ilk can create InfoWars. It doesn't mean that Spotify has to include that show.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not limiting his free speech to say, it's Spotify exercising its right to free speech, or Facebook to say, we don't want this on our platform. And I think that's okay too. I think if there were an effort made that nobody who wanted to listen to hateful stuff could listen to it, that's where I think that there's a free speech problem, right? If you couldn't get anywhere, but you can subscribe to a podcast however you want, right? You can listen to it on a website. In fact, I was talking to a job applicant looking to work here yesterday, who said that he listens to podcasts via the website, like via their respective websites. He goes to them and finds the embeddable player.
Oh, really?
And play. And I'm like, you are a weird person.
Yeah.
It's not going to get in the job. I honestly don't even – I have it in my notes. So I don't remember which applicant it was. But I thought it was fascinating. But I do think platforms need to make themselves feel comfortable with their offering. And like that's the joy of running the platform. You can make Notify if you want to have a Spotify competitor and, you know, include whatever content you want. But I think it's a slippery slope, right? That's the scary part. Like if you don't allow InfoWars, does that mean that you have to, you know, not allow something else that's differently politically ideological? And my answer is it might be a slippery slope, but like have a committee, have people make decisions, and then just be able to justify them.
Yeah.
Almost every platform says that we reserve the right to effectively refuse service/hosting to anyone. And
we still have that no shoes, no shirt, no service policy.
No shoes, no shirt, no Stitcher, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so if you were listening to this show and you don't have shoes on, stop. But it's a really good question that Millward sent in. And I think I understand why businesses struggle with it. For me personally, if you can't come up with a good reason why it should be there, if it doesn't feel like it's bettering the world, bettering the conversation, I got no problem getting rid of it. That's my take. Harry, where can our listeners follow you online?
Oh, okay. I'm on Twitter. My screen name is HC Nelson. Go there if you want dumb jokes. And I'm around.
You are.
Get at me.
Now, before we go.
Yeah.
Is there a piece of advice
that
you want to share with our listeners? Because, as you know, Harry, because you've written it in my notes, whenever we have guests on, we try to get them to share some advice because listeners listen to the show sometimes because they're producers or they're aspiring to get into the industry or they're thinking about making a podcast themselves. What's the one piece of advice you want to share with the Wolf Den faithful?
I mean,
denizens.
I went over my story is very weird, but it involves reaching out to the people that you like. Like if you want to do something, find the people who are doing it and talk to those people. Do it yourself. You know, get some experience on your own. Just like don't be afraid to – somebody told me once, gave me some advice, which is don't be afraid to ask people for things because people want to help other people.
Yes, and I think actually your advice is even more broad than you realize because like you were in that Earwolf Reddit because you love Earwolf.
Yeah.
And like following the fans or the communities that are associated with the things you love is a good way to find out about opportunities like Harry did. And Harry's email came at the right time even though it took a year?
The whole process was about a year and a half.
Even though it took 18 months, Harry's dream came true. He got to become the producer of The Wolf Den. At HC Nelson on Twitter. Thanks to Harry Nelson as my guest and producer today. Thanks to Jared O'Connell in the booth. The Wolf Den mailbag theme is by Millward. No, I'm sorry. It's by Casey Holford. You can subscribe to The Wolf Den at Earwolf, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and rate the show on your favorite apps of choice. And don't forget, tweet at us with your questions or email wolfden@midroll.com. Otherwise, we're going to put your name on a question that you didn't even submit. As technology becomes more pervasive, the way modern businesses target consumers is expanding and becoming more controversial. From Facebook's data collection practices to the rise of on-demand streaming services like Netflix, modern marketers are leveraging technology to disrupt billion-dollar industries. The MarTech podcast tells the stories, strategies, and secrets of how modern marketers use technology to drive business growth. Learn how modern businesses grow by searching for MarTech, that's MARTECH, in your podcast app, or by visiting martechpod.com. The MarTech Podcast, where innovative marketers share the secrets of fast-growing companies.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Reza Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.